Glory to God. God is faithful. Glory to God. God is faithful. Philemon 6, and again, we're highlighting and talking about being in Christ and taking our place in Christ. You know, I had a thought about something today. You know, we look at all of the tensions that go on in the world, tensions that go on in our country, and some of the things that are going on, and we each all have a different perspective, and I say it that way because of who we are. We all come from different places, different cultures, but I'll tell you one thing, we're in one family. In Jesus, in Christ, we're in one family, and we're to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. In Christ. And if we keep that perspective, we won't get yanked here and yon, and we won't get pulled and drawn into what I think and what I think about this. You need to put that aside. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't get involved in different things. I'm not saying that at all, but you need to put Christ first. Who are you in Christ? Hallelujah. And so these things that are going on, I remember Brother Hagin shared this. It's a prophetic word that he released back in the 70s. And he said that there were two or three frog-like creatures coming up out of the sea. And what he meant by that was, prophetically, out of the sea was out of mankind. And he said there were three frog-like creatures that were coming up. One was, I believe he said, one was military, one was race, one was economic. And he said that the church was responsible to pray, to hint to stop this. And he said he saw them marching across or hopping across the United States. And he said it was going to cause a problem. And he said Jesus told him this. He said, I'm holding the church accountable for the conditions of this country. And this was the other thing that, I mean, I just sit down every time I think about it, I take a deep breath. He said, I'm holding the church accountable even for the decisions that the president makes. So when we want to go wah, 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 you better watch it. Because God is holding accountable. If he sets a man in office, I don't care who it is, we are to do what? 1 Timothy, we're to pray for all men and for those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we better behoove and watch and put a guard over the words we release. And yeah, I know we all, I do too, I see it. And people form opinions and attitudes based on what they feed on.
Yes, sir.
And I see it, and I hear and read just like you do. But you need to put it through the filter of this.
That's right.
And you need to park some things and say, look, everybody's had experiences. Everybody's had, you, and individuals all have. But I'm saying at this point that we need to pray for the condition of this country. Pray, because think of the scriptures. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. And so that's what we wrestle against. And when you see things going on in our country, when things are just frothed up, it's demonic. I'm going to share this. I saw something recently, and I said it kind of bore witness in my heart. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with the message, but it does have something to do with us being in Christ in this sense. I saw this recently, and it was somebody who was sharing a word. He said, this is a dream or a prophetic word that I had. And so he was releasing this. And he said, in this dream, I saw Kim Jong-un. And he said, I saw three or four demons around him, taunting him to do things. And he said, if the church would pray, he said, this is not a done deal. He said, if the church will pray, those demons will be pushed off and replaced by angels. And he will yield to that influence and become repentant and humble himself and begin to say all the things that he's done wrong to his country. See, that's, and when I said, yep, that's right. We need to pray that the influences that surround him, not physical but spiritual, be broken. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. The church has in them Christ, the power of God, and the word of God to change something. Amen. So Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing, which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we've got to acknowledge. That word acknowledge means to confess. We need to profess and confess every good thing that is in us, what? In Christ Jesus. I like some of these other translations. The Young's literal translation says that the fellowship of thy faith may become working in the full knowledge of every good thing that is in you toward Christ. Hallelujah. The Amplified, it says, and I pray that the participation in, that means us acting, right? And the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in ours, is ours, in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So when we communicate, let me read it again, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. That means that when we profess and we acknowledge, it's going to produce in us an appreciation and what? An understanding, a recognition, a precise knowledge of every good thing that's in us, in Christ. Hallelujah. I like this translation. It's called the Laubach. It says, I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. So the people you meet, are they catching hold of your excitement and your faith in Christ and how wonderful it is to be in Christ? Or are they hearing something else? What are they hearing when they see you? Are they like, oh, I got to stand in this line again? Or are they talking? Are they going to meet someone who's excited and full of life for Christ and how wonderful it is to be in Christ? Are they going to hear that? Are they going to see that? Or are they going to see, you know, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. And that gives you an opportunity to do what? Begin to share how wonderful it is. God changed me. He redeemed me. He delivered me. You want to hear my testimony? Amen. What good things he's done for me. That's our opportunity, isn't it? So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know where we're going, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says, if any man, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, every time I think about this, every time I read this scripture, I reflect on the day I got saved. I'm telling you, it was like an explosion went off in me. How many remember Pastor John Lipscomb when he was alive? I remember when I went to his church, the first day I went up to introduce myself after service. He looked me square in the eye. He said, "Are you saved?" And I went, "No." He said, "Would you like to be?" I said, "Yes." And I remember he led me to the Lord that day, and it was a wonderful day. I didn't feel anything, you know, significant. But when I went home that day, it was like a fire burning in here. I mean, it was a fire. And I said, "What the heck just happened to me?" What just happened to me? Because I didn't know. But I knew something was different. The weights and the things and the cares, it just, there was something different. Something new had happened. So I'll tell you, you know, when every time I read this and I see old things are passed away, all things have become new, I remember that day that I got saved. I remember the weight of life being lifted off, hallelujah, and becoming new. I knew. And you know, the other thing that happened, I remember this, just kind of come back to me. When I got saved, I had a four-letter vocabulary. Anybody know what that means? It wasn't good. It was vile. And I had all my adjectives and nouns and whatever, and my prepositions were weren't too good. And I could turn that on and off as at will. And a lot of that came from I wasn't raised that way. I never heard a curse word in my house growing up. Never heard one curse word ever. So it didn't come from home life. It came from being around people and the influence of people and around, you know, I started working construction going through college, being around construction workers. They had a colorful vocabulary. Go get this blankety blank 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 thing, right? Whatever. You got my point. So the day I got saved, there's this fire burning in me and I'm wondering, oh, what happened? But I had a sports car, and I'm underneath it doing something. I was always, you know, I liked sports cars, liked fast cars. So I'm under this sports car, and I'm doing some work on it, and I had a wrench, and I went, boom, and I whacked my hand on something. And normally, a litany of profanities would have followed. You know what I mean? Nothing came out. And because nothing came out, I stopped. I'm serious. I stopped and went, what happened? There ain't nothing coming out. And it stopped me because it was normal for me to just add a few extra words. Nothing came out. Out of where? My spirit. And I know that I know that I know that I know I'm a new creature. Because that profanity didn't come out of my head. It came out of my spirit. That's why when you hear people talk about people that get into life and death situations, what do? They begin to curse God. It doesn't come out of their head. It comes out of their spirit. And so the day I got saved and I became a new creature, that cursing stopped. It went away. There is none. If you hauled off and hit me today, you shouldn't, but if you did... But if you gave me a good old whack right in the gut, I might say ouch, but that would be about the size of it. No cursing, because it's not there. I got a brand new spirit, and all of that death that was there is gone. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's wonderful. And so when I hear, I remember one person a long time ago was here, he was a member here, he said, "You know, I'm having a problem with cursing." I wanted to say, "Get saved." Because I was a curser, and I got saved, and it got roto-rooted out. I'm a brand new person, brand new in Christ, new in kind and quality. I've got eternity living in me. I've got glory living in me. Death was there, now it's glory. So how can you have cursing in you? You can't. It's not there. I'm telling you. Excites me just thinking about it. The Amplified, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, spiritual condition, see, that's what I was, curse and condition, has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Hallelujah. The contemporary English version says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten, and everything is new. So if the past is forgotten, that's what the King James says, old things are passed away. So when the devil wants to run the videotape or tell you about your past, you say, I'm sorry, the past is gone. It's forgotten. It's been washed. It's been cleansed by the blood. There's no record of it. It's been expunged. You know what that means? It's gone. If they try to go and look it up, they say, I'm sorry, it's not there. We don't have record of that anymore. Ha! No record. Now, society may have a record on you, but not God. There's no record of your past. Wow. I'm telling you, that's good. That, just that alone ought to lift a lot of weight and concern. I wonder if God's got, you know, holding this out against me. And you know what happens a lot of times, you get into, you know, as you grow in Christ, sometimes the devil will say, yeah, but, you know, God's not doing that because. And I'm sorry, I'm saying, no, that doesn't pertain to me, Mr. Devil. But your past was not erased. You got a future. Amen. So anyways, wanted to jump over here. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Because in Christ, old things have passed away, and I've become a new creation, a new person in Christ. In Galatians 2:20, it talks about being crucified with Christ. So you can see from 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm not just a forgiven sinner, but I'm not just a forgiven sinner, but I'm a brand new creation in Christ. So Galatians 2:20 in the King James, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I like some of these other translations. I'm going to read them because it blesses me to read them. This is the Laubach, L-A-U-B-A-C-H. It says, Christ took me to the cross with him, and I died there with him. Hallelujah. If we were raised together, then I had to have gone to the cross with him. I died there with him, and I was buried with him, and raised with him, and seated with him. Hallelujah. This is the distilled translation. It says, I consider myself as having died, and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. I like that. This is the Cressman translation. It says, I died when Christ died on the cross. I do not live now, but Christ lives in me. I like this. This is called the Marshall translation. It says, with Christ, I have been co-crucified. I like that. I like that term, co-crucified. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We were both crucified. Yes, he was physically crucified, and so was I. I went to the cross with him. Hallelujah. And because I did, what does it said? but Christ, yet nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. He liveth. He didn't live, he's living in me. And the life which I now live. This is the Barclay translation. I like this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. My own life is dead. It is Christ who lives in me. True, my physical life goes on, but its mainspring is faith in the Son of God. Glory to God. I still am alive, but my mainspring, my life, is faith in Christ, in the Son of God. So you could say it's no longer self-consciousness, but it's Christ-consciousness. I'm conscious of Him. He's living in me. He's alive in me. Brother Hagin used to say, I need to be more God inside minded. And that's where we are. You know, when we go through life and we're seeing all these things that are going on in society, first thing I ought to say is, okay, God, what I need to be more conscious of Him. How do I interact with this? How do I respond to this? How do I think about this? It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. How should I talk about this? How should I think about this? How should I respond to this? How should I interact with this and influence it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this life that we have is in Christ. Let's look at Colossians 3:3. Colossians 3. And verse 3 and 4. In the King James, it says, For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. This is a few other translations, the Blackwelder translation. It says, For you died in your identification with His death, and your life, which is the result of His resurrection, is hidden with Christ in God. So we're hidden in Christ. And when you know that, and when you are totally aware of that, things don't affect you the same. They don't impact you the same. Because you're like, no, I'm in Christ. I'm protected in Christ. I'm sealed by Him. I'm protected. The Amplified, I like this. It says, For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. The Living Bible said you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. So we really should have little, the world should have little impact on us because, why? We don't have a desire for this world. We have more desire for Christ and His purposes and His things and His heart. We have more desire for that. So the things of this earth, even though we see them and we partake of them, they have little impact. We have less desire for them than we do for God. Why? Because it's His life in me. It's His life in me. That's why when I was talking about grafting on Sunday, I always find that fascinating because grafting creates a genetic copy of something. So spiritually, our DNA is changed. When you graft something, it creates an exact genetic copy of something. So we are engrafted into Christ. He is the vine. Ye are the branch. So the branches are producing fruit because of the quality of the life of the vine. It's eternal life. Hallelujah. So we're producing excellent fruit because of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we were talking Sunday about identification, I'm not really going to go back through that, but I was thinking about, you know, some things about when you talk about identification. I was thinking about this, you know, because we did this for so many years here. I was involved in the process. Now we do CD duplication, but I was thinking about duplicators. And I said, when you take a duplicate, you take a duplicator and you duplicate it, you get an exact copy of something. If there's a mess up on the master, you get it. You say, what is that? Get rid of it. Well, then change the master. Fix the master. But when we duplicate CDs, you get an exact replica of what was on that master. Well, when we were engrafted into Christ, his life is an exact replica. We are Christ here in the earth. You see Christ, you see us. You see us, you see Christ. It's an exact, should be, an exact replica of his nature, of his righteousness, of his glory, of his goodness, of his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you think about these things, think about natural, sometimes natural things make me think about that. And anyways, let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. And I want to look at this particular scripture again, 5:14. 5:14 through 19. And it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, or you could say the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. He's talking about Jesus here. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more, what? The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we're talking about here, and this just in these few verses of Scripture, we're talking about two men. We're talking about the first Adam, and we're talking about the last Adam, or the second Adam. And so we're talking about here that this first Adam, or this first birth, put us in Adam, in a sense, put us in Adam. But your second birth does what? Put you in Christ. And so in your first birth, you identified or shared with Adam's inheritance, his condition, and his future. But in Christ, in this second birth, you share in his inheritance, his condition, and his future. So we have a future. Glory to God. So here, let's continue. Verse 15, we read verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So in Christ, we've been made righteous. In Christ, we've been set free. In Christ, we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. In Christ, we have victory. In Christ, we have eternal life. So by one man's offense, many did what? Many were made sinners, and we were one of those. But in Christ, we were redeemed. Glory to God. We receive grace from that one act of obedience. Let's look at Ephesians for a moment here. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, one thing I think about is, and we talk about this often, but your destiny is not determined by your genetics. It's not determined by, let's say, your psyche or your attitude. Your destiny, and even your destiny, is not determined by where you came from. Your destiny is determined by who you are in Christ. You're what? A new creature in Christ. So those things that sometimes people will focus on, what are you thinking about? You know, sometimes we hear young baby Christians in Christ, they'll go, well, you know, I'm from here, I can't do no better, I'm this, I'm that. I'm saying those things, your past does not determine your future. Your past and who you were, where you were raised, your whatever, your ethnicity, all that stuff does not determine your future. Christ and His grace and all that He did for us, that determines our destiny. And we're to do what? Acknowledge that. All the good things that have been done, those things need to be acknowledged in Christ. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 1, these are the kind of things that I like to meditate on. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," where? "In Christ. According as He hath chosen us," where? "In Him," or you could say in Christ. "Before the foundation of the world," isn't that wonderful? He chose us in Christ before we were ever a person. "That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Look at this first chapter, look at the first and second chapter. Just look at this. It says here, look at verse 7. It says, "In whom," in Christ, "we have," not we're going to, "we have it. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were" what? "Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So in Him, in Christ, I've been redeemed. I've been sealed. I have all blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, you just go through this first chapter, first and second chapter, you begin to see who you are. If you're having a bad day, just get these chapters out and begin to meditate on who you are. Not what your circumstances say, not what your conditions say, but what does God say about you? What does he say about you personally? I'm a new creature. Think about here. Let's look at verse chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Sometimes just take the out, make it personal. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, hath quickened me together with Christ. By grace I am saved." Hallelujah. "And hath raised me up together and made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward me through Christ. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of myself, but it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that I should walk in them." I am his workmanship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm ordained to walk in them. And so are you. And greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Begin to pronounce that. See, remember, go back to Philemon's. Let's take a look at that again as we're looking this. Philemon's, what does it say? It says that the communication of my faith, of thy faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. I'm acknowledging that. And it becomes effective. It becomes working in me. Hallelujah. It abounds in me. Glory to God. Here's something I wanted to look at. I wanted to look at a few scriptures. It got me to thinking about this. Let's look at Ephesians. We're here. Look at chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 17, and we'll read down a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness," or this says here that you could say the hardness of their heart, "who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man." See, I'm a new man. I'm not the old man anymore. "Which is what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed." How are we renewed? "In the spirit of your mind." So our minds have to be renewed. And what does it say? "And that you put on" what? "Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And then it goes on, it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, so we are members one of another." And it continues. Now look at Colossians also, Colossians chapter 3. And verse 10, Colossians chapter 3, and well, actually, let's back up. Let's back up to 5. Colossians 3 and 5. It says, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." I guess your members would be. "Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have what? You have put off the old man with his deeds." And this is what I want to look at. "And have done what? Put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge." How is this new man renewed? See, you got regenerated, your spirit's new, but it's got to be renewed. You've got to know who you are in Christ. And we said, God's got to introduce you to yourself through the Word. You've got to be introduced to who you really have become in Christ. And so verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Wow. That's exciting. So we have to do what? Put on the new man. You know, think about, you put on new clothes. You ever turn on the award show, you see all the actors and actresses sashay down the red carpet, and they got on all of these, you know, what do they do? What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Not what. You know, you got clothes on, but who are you wearing? And they all say, "Well, I'm wearing, you know, Versace," or whatever that stylist is, right? They made them look wonderful, but what does it do? It complements the designer, right? So the question, you know, for us, we may not be wearing Versace or Yves Saint Laurent. We may be wearing Target or whatever we're wearing, or Men's Warehouse, whatever you're going to wear, right? But the key becomes, what have you put on? Who are you wearing? Who do you identify with? See, because their big thing is they identify with some designer. I identify with who? I identify with Christ and his life and his nature in me. And it begins to complement the designer. It begins to complement the one who created me. They can see the designer in me. They can see God in me. See, you know how people say, "Oh, I know that. That's the designer." They know a certain style or a certain thing that designer does. They'll say, "Oh no, I know that designer." What are they saying about us? Yes. Who have you put on? See, and that's what it does. It begins to, what we're wearing begins to point back to the designer. And that's what we need to focus on. Who have we put on? Did we put on Christ? Because if we have, they begin to see him in us. And that's really what I wanted to look at tonight, is who have we put on? Hallelujah. Because what? We're clothed in his royalty. Remember we were talking about Sunday? There's a scripture I have to look at and look through my notes here, but there was a scripture that it talked about, we have royal lineage. That was one of the translations that it said. So we have in us royal lineage in Christ. So I have royalty in me. I used to like what T.L. Osborne used to say when he was alive. He would get off the plane and he would go to preach to these big crusades, millions of people out in these open-air crusades. And this is what he said. I remember one time, this is back in the 80s, he was sharing at one of Brother Copeland's meetings, and he said, this is how when I land in Africa and I get off the private jet, he said, I get off, and he said, I say, when I come off the plane onto the carpet, I say, royalty has just arrived. See? And he saw himself as Christ saw him. Royalty. Because that's who we are. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who is supposed to show forth the virtues of Christ. Who have you put on? I've put on his nature, his royalty, his righteousness, his glory. And that reflects who? The designer. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, today I'm convinced, I really am convinced of this, that as the church begins to more and more reflect Christ, this world will be turned and impacted. I do, I'm convinced of it. Because I'm convinced that the heart of a man, even though he may be a sinner, will see the goodness of God when they see it. I do. Convinced of it. They may not embrace Christ, but they'll recognize it and they'll see it. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of who we are in Christ. Thank you, God, for reminding us that we are to put on the new man. We're to put off the old man, and we're to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So, Father, as we acknowledge what you've done, we thank you that it becomes effectual and effective in our lives. And we thank you that the listener will embrace this and will impact the lives of those in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.